WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have these really cool insides. I hope they never give me other scratch-offs. I hope they keep these 50th anniversary scratch-offs forever, because I remember these from almost 50 years ago. We'll be giving these away throughout the Crab Cake Tour. Also, our friends at the Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, they give me the floppy hat. I get the crab cakes. We get to go all over the place. And at least for this week, we're going to be watching the Terps on Thursday at Barstool Sports at Hollywood Casino up in Perryville, Maryland. We're all behind you. So I'm wearing my State Fair of Catonsville shirt. It has the Maryland flag on it because it makes me think of chicken and waffles and really good stuff. I've had breakfast with this guy a few times at the NFL Combine. This is before they threw me out of the NFL media after 27 years. But he and I used to dine on pasty oatmeal and really stale coffee on really cold days in winter days in Indianapolis, where everyone else is hungover. But we were too busy getting out of bed for the Underwear Olympics. He is really the OG, the original. We welcome Aaron Schatz back onto the program. Originally introduced to me by James Schwartz underneath the original Hoosier Dome, lo these 2 decades ago when Schwartz was still running around coaching the Tennessee Titans defense, trying to figure that out. He is the Football Outsiders. You can follow him at FO_A Schatz. It's not like the beer, SCHATZ. I love that he's been on like all these highfalutin shows. It still makes time for us around a trading deadline, a free agency deadline, and tampering period. Why aren't you tampering right now, Shots? Why aren't you out
I
there with
should
some
be
tampering?
I should be calling writers from other websites and trying to negotiate for them to transfer to me. Is that what tampering period is like for writers, I guess?
Dude, you might get 3 number 1s. I mean, you're pretty good at what you do. I mean, I almost grabbed Lucas to bring this in. I reached to you, and you are, as Luke would say, and as you would say, the ultimate football nerd in breaking down players and what they do and how they do it, and systems and how they do it, and rating them and how they do it, and all of that filters to their value. And Billick used to always say, there's a time for pay and there's a time for play. Now's the time for pay. And we're about to get up on all of this. And I just literally wanted your perspective, because as we go to press here, and I'm an old newspaper guy, Aaron, Lamar's getting mouthy on Twitter on the edge of the deadline and saying this is where the Ravens are. This is him being an agent, right? He's saying this is where it is. Where are you on watching this circus from afar, as literally more of a football head than as a salary cap nerd?
I mean, listen, the fact is that there are three kinds of quarterbacks in the NFL. There are quarterbacks who win for you. There are quarterbacks you can win with, and there are quarterbacks you can't win with. And Lamar Jackson is a quarterback who wins for you. He's not the top of the quarterbacks who win for you, right? He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not even Josh Allen, but he's definitely in that category of guys who are special. And when those guys come up for contracts, you pay them because they're really hard to find. And you don't want to go into the quarterback wilderness where you're signing Taylor Heineke and trying out third round picks for the next 8 years. I think everybody knows that the biggest disagreements between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens has to do with guaranteed money. I think after Deshaun Watson, everybody assumes that after Deshaun Watson's contract with Cleveland, that Lamar Jackson wants guaranteed money like what Deshaun Watson got. And nobody, not just the Ravens, nobody wants to follow Cleveland down that hole of giving fully guaranteed contracts in the NFL.
Were you when he came in the league on him running into linebackers? Because I often say, let's go back to the Garden of Eden and the original sin. The first time I watched the kid play in a number 8 jersey, I was on the roof in Canton, Ohio. Ray Lewis was going into the Hall of Fame. We had a lot of fans out there. I'm up in that little rickety press box up there. They're running around on whatever carpet they put out that day. And I watched him, and I watched him take contact in July in football games, hard contact, where guys are trying to make teams and make plays and do things. And I thought to myself, sustainability is the word, right? How sustainable, how many times is he going to do that? and not be available in December or January? Well, the answer is the last two. And this is where Luke gets antsy with me, because Luke is more of the defender and would say he got hurt in the pocket. You know what I mean? And they screwed the offense up and they don't pass the ball enough. And he could pass the ball more if you just gave him a chance and they built the thing around him. But they didn't and they haven't. And they did build it around the Willie Sneeds and blockers and running and running. And I mean, a lot of things changed without Mark Ingram. A lot of things changed without Marshall Yanda. A lot of things changed without Ronnie Stanley. And then a lot of things change when you don't have wide receivers that stay healthy, get on the field, perform. So there's plenty of blame to go around about how they haven't won Super Bowls. But you watch, and I could get flipping here and say, you watch a lot of really shitty football. I mean, you watch a lot of bad quarterback play. You watch the whole league. You don't just watch Patrick Mahomes. You're watching the guys like, oh my God, this guy's overwhelmed. He's not good enough. Where is Lamar for you in just installing him in System X and running System Y, and why a team, and why the Ravens were the team that said, we're going to change everything about the way we do this? Because it feels early on that the Saints, who were about Deshaun Watson last year, said, we'll take Carr. It felt early on the Panthers said, let's go get a fresh kid. We can go get the number one. Let's give a draft or two away. We'll go do that. That's what we want to sell to our fit. Great. Okay, let's get, instead of a $50 million a year quarterback and a guarantee of whatever, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that would be. To me, the hardest part in this, above and beyond owners and money and guaranteed, is your head coach and your GM is going to stick their neck out and say, all right, love the kid, love the athlete, don't love the durability, and he's kind of got to run. He's got to take contact to be who he is. That's the part where a guy like you and the science of all this 5 years ago would have said, this is why he was 31st, and him taking contact to me has to be an insurance issue, like driving a car on the freeway. You know what I mean? He just drives the car hard. And I think that I don't know that everybody would want that, right, for their quarterback.
I wonder whether the durability thing is him, though. Research shows that scrambling quarterbacks do not, in fact, get injured at a higher rate than pocket quarterbacks. So I don't think it's Lamar Jackson is a mobile quarterback and therefore he's taking hits and getting hurt. I think it might be Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson, and therefore he's getting hurt. Like, he might be sort of injury prone, and it might be about the sort of hits he takes. Like, different running quarterbacks are different in the amount that they slide, the amount that they get out of bounds. Like, he may be taking hits. Maybe we can teach him to take fewer hits than he takes and get out of bounds more. Maybe give up a couple of yards on some of these runs in order to, like, protect himself.
It felt like he did more of that last year. I mean, we've had people here call it a business. He made some business decisions last year, and he played differently last year.
And business decisions are good because you want to stay in business, right? Business decisions are not good when you get to the playoffs, but in the regular season, you need to make some business decisions to stay in business. So I don't know. I mean, you'd need to do medicals on him to figure out, like, why has he gotten so injured over the last couple of years? But you're right in that, you know, I'm going to defend him and say, I think he's a better pocket passer than anybody's aware of. I think you can throw more with him if you want to. I understand the offense that Baltimore runs, because having Lamar Jackson, having mobile quarterbacks in general, but Lamar Jackson especially, creates gravity, right? Where the defense has to respect the possibility that Lamar Jackson's going to run. And it really opens up your running game for everybody else. And that's why Baltimore runs better than almost any other team in the league, because Lamar Jackson opens things up for them to do that no matter who their running backs are. But you can pass more with him. They haven't given him great receivers, although they've tried. I mean, you know, they used a first-round pick on Rashad Bateman. It's not Lamar Jackson's fault that Rashad Bateman can't stay healthy.
Well, and certainly that affects his value, I think, throughout the league, to say, great when you're in there, haven't been in there at the end, demanding guaranteed money, higher risk than anyone else, but is the reward higher than anywhere else? I mean, I guess he wants to be the number one overall.
He was so good in 2019. Like, we know what Lamar Jackson's peak looks like, and it's better, his peak of what he was in 2019 is better than pretty much anyone in the league other than Mahomes. The problem is he hasn't been at that peak for 3 years.
And assessing why that is, I guess, what we're all – it's what the market is doing right now, and saying, can I take him plug him in. I need a quarterback. It's the most important position that we have. Can I plug him in and will I immediately be better? And you had these three categories, but wherein lies the value to these franchises and what they're thinking about a guy who fundamentally has to take on contact to be effective,
I mean,
as opposed to going into the draft where Carolina's going?
I don't understand some of the decisions, right? A lot of people have talked about this. You know, Lamar Jackson keeps getting shipped to the Falcons, right? Everybody's like putting them together because the Falcons want to run this very play action, run heavy offense. It seems perfect for Lamar Jackson. I don't know why the Falcons don't want to give up two first round picks to sign him. Like if I were the Falcons, I would absolutely consider that. He fits what they want to do. I think he's worth the money. I would consider it, but they don't seem to want to consider it. So at this point, Baltimore is sort of negotiating against themselves. There's really no other team in the discussion. So, you know, they're offering what they're offering, and I think they're sort of sending Lamar Jackson the signal of go out there, find out if any other team wants to sign you, and if not, come on back. The offer's still on the table, and I think he's going to end up having to take whatever their last offer was.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone a lot of directions here, and we haven't even talked about the kid off the field and how he feels and the agent issue and how he's marketed himself and how he probably cost himself $20 million. He's already $20 million underwater just for playing last year and not taking a deal. He'd be further along toward free agency if he just would have taken a three-year guaranteed, you know, something that wouldn't have been the standard. The union's involved in this. Owner egos are involved in this. The original sin of owner versus the Players Association, all of that is baked into this above and beyond why I called you, which is the football player. You know, literally, right. It's what you study is to say, where would he work? Why wouldn't it work? What would the salary cap look like or that number look like? I mean, part of the Panthers making the deal they made last week is jettisoning a salary too. So moving around these 20 and 30 and $40 million football players under salary caps, Jalen Ramsey, I mean, all of these moves we're seeing, they're different kinds of moves than just football moves.
Right. But Atlanta, I mean, I talked about Atlanta as an example. Atlanta has, I believe, the cap room to sign him, which is why it's sort of curious that they're not interested. But I mean, Baltimore has prepared for him. He is the quarterback. They've prepared his cap for him to be the quarterback. They're ready to sign him. Whatever this offer was that he says that they gave him $133 for 3 years, they're ready to sign that. Schefter says that they offered $200 million over 5 years, although that's not all guaranteed. So they're ready to get him under their cap. He just needs to. He's going to have to, I think, come back with his tail between his legs a little bit going, all right, guess I'm going back to Baltimore. No one else is making the offer.
Well, nobody is saying you're the best quarterback, that I'm ready to go beat Allen, Burrow, and Mahomes with you, right? I mean, nobody's saying you're my guy. I'm all in. Let's ride. And I'm not even sure that the Ravens have said that at any point. And I'm not sure that there hasn't been tremendous friction, calluses, bruised feelings, whatever all of that is on both sides of the fence. Even when the Ravens don't have feelings, they just have football. Their feelings might be, we've had enough. And when it comes time to restructure, what are we, you know, who are we going to call? And all of these really important things that Steve Bisciotti would say about the future of the franchise isn't the next one or two or three years with Lamar Jackson. And they have a unique structure in their executives where DaCosta and Harbaugh feel like they're lifers, right? Whereas Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are running around chasing Aaron Rodgers in some peyote farm this week. Who knows, right? They're hoping he comes because they're not going to have a gig. These guys can move on and take draft picks. That's a flexibility here that I think an agent, I mean, I've been on with you 15 minutes here and I haven't said the word agent yet, but this is where I think the Ravens, it has felt like to me, as sports radio guy that's covered this for 30 years, it feels like to me the Ravens were just happy to have somebody else sign him and take some draft picks and just say, you know what,
But nobody's, it's not going to happen. Nobody's coming out to do it. So he's going to have, they're like, this is the offer we made. And he's going to have to be, he's going to have to say, all right, I'm taking, either I'm taking that or I'm going to play the year on the franchise tag. And then next year, we're going to go through this whole thing again.
It's fascinating around the league about teams coming together and breaking up. I mean, 5 minutes ago, you and I were talking about the Rams and Matt Stafford and winning championships. And then, you know, 10 months later, the coach is like, maybe I don't want to coach football anymore. And, you know, F the picks and like all of that. This is the time of the year where Football Outsiders, you guys and Mike, and I want to give you a chance to talk about draft, because aside from everything else, when the Ravens went out to Indianapolis and did their press conferences out there and Harbaugh and DaCosta did the thing, I'm thinking, they better be looking for the next quarterback in this draft, because if this
they're drafting way too late for that. Oh my God. Like, unless they want to do something kind of a little crazy and take Hendon Hooker at the end of the first round and accept that he's going to be injured next year and that you're not going to get him until 2024. I don't think anybody thinks Hendon Hooker is good enough to go in the first round though. The top four quarterbacks are going in like the top six or seven picks. So Baltimore's not sniffing a quarterback. And the lesser quarterbacks in this draft are terrible. There's five quarterbacks worth talking about. And Mike Tenier, who our draft guy, he would argue there's only four quarterbacks worth talking about because he is not a Will Levis fan. But after Hendon Hooker, there's a big drop to the rest of this quarterback class.
Well, tell everybody how they can get in touch with your draft stuff, too, because you guys are top of class, best in business. Aaron Schatz is here. You follow him at the FB Outsiders out on Twitter and out on all social media. Give everybody the lowdown on what's happening here, because we're, you know, 5-6 weeks out. And look, Lamar. They played with Lamar the last couple. They've won one playoff game. You know what I mean? Like, Lamar's going to need help. The draft is still the most important thing. And even with DaCosta dealing off into getting an extra seventh-round pick, this is a really lean draft for the Ravens with the amount of picks they have. And to your point, the artillery did not really move up unless they're giving future drafts away. And they don't like doing that at all.
No, they don't. And so if you go to footballoutsiders.com, we have a draft board that we introduced last year. It was 40 players last year. Now it's 100. We have the FO 100 put together by Mike Tenier with his top 100 players, with all of his write-ups, with Mike's knowing wit and scouting, plus advanced stats from our friends at Sports Info Solutions. And we also have something called the Fantasy 40, which is the top 40 players who are going to help your fantasy team next year. I mean, obviously, we don't know who's drafted by what team yet, but you know, based on just generally how good these players are and where we think they're going in the draft, you know, these are our top 40 fantasy guys for next year: running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends. So check that out. The Football Outsiders 100, the FO 100, footballoutsiders.com. Now, you need to be an FO Plus subscriber. You get to see the top 10 players for free. And then to see players 11 through 100, you need to be an FO Plus subscriber. But this is a great time to become an FO Plus subscriber, because you not only get all our advanced stats during the season, you'll get our book in July, Football Outsiders Almanac 2023, previewing the season, and you'll get access to the FO 100.
Aaron, you mentioned advanced stats and in season, and we see you know, the Ravens lose a lineman for $50 million to Denver again. And the value of these players that leave and where your salary cap is, Calais Campbell, you know, in Baltimore this week, a cap casualty dealing off, trying to create this space that you talked about to create $33 million of cap space for Lamar Jackson, a number that I can't imagine he'll play on the non-exclusive. We didn't even discuss that part of it. But, you know, but at this time of the year, all of the teams are jockeying and making their moves. It really feels to me much more in depth than it was 20 years ago in regard to the science of numbers, what's going to work here, what works over there, and how in the old days, no offense to, you know, any of the old timers and, you know, that we used to sit around with out there, and Gil Brandt and whatnot, and how they had notes and they had values and they had cards and they had their thing. We're at a whole different level of science and fiction and how we're hearing these players all over the league. You watch NFL Network, your ticker, wherever you are, you're on the WNST tech service, you're seeing the money that's being distributed, how the value from the teams, the players, the Players Association, the agents, come together, that this thing is, it's just really, really complex, more complex than sports radio could ever give it.
I will say, first of all, every team in the NFL has an analytics department at this point. And the Ravens have one of the larger analytics departments. And the next gen stats have been transformational as far as the amount of information that they're giving teams. And teams are just scratching the surface of what you can do with that player tracking. You know, that's the chips in the pads and the chip in the ball that shows you where every player goes on every play. Like, it opens up all kinds of new, you know, possibilities for measuring blocking, for measuring tackling, for measuring coverage. And we really, like I said, we've only scratched the surface of what those stats can do. So analytics is really going to become even more and more important over the next 5 or 10 years in how teams judge players and try to translate players from other teams into their system. Because that's the thing. It's not just how good is a player on another team. It's how good will that player be in your system? Because your system may be different from the system they're playing in now.
When you say to somebody, pay attention to something, you're new to all of this and you want to see football at a different level, where's your focus moving forward in that this thing, it's a river, right? I mean, you started 20 years ago when Schwartz and I were, hey, this guy, he studies stats. He studies things. He's an analyst of some kind, you know, to where it is at this point. If somebody comes into it and wants to open the door of Algebra 1 to this part of studying players, what's important to you?
I mean, you know, the first thing is to look at averages rather than totals, to look at efficiency rather than totals, because that tells you how good players are doing on every play. You know, teams play at different paces. Some teams play slow. Some teams play fast. You know, how far ahead you are changes the way you play defense. Like, you want stats that are going to filter out all that context. Like, you know, like the standard NFL rankings are based on yards allowed, which is a terrible way to rank teams, because the fact is, if you have a 25-point lead, you're going to allow more yards because you don't care as long as the other team doesn't score 25 points to come back on you, right? So, like, the fact is that the NFL is a game in which the situation of the game, the down and distance and score and time remaining change.
Some cases, the weather.
Change what you're trying to do, and you need to adjust for those things and adjust for weather too.
I mean, it could be my quarterback's hurt. He's not going to run today. It could be all sorts of things like that. And that there's no way for us to know as much as the Ravens analytics department. And to your point, and this is probably to the science of a guy like Schwartz introducing you, a guy like you, who then went on to run defenses. He's trying to beat us in Cleveland now, you know, out there, is understanding that we have a salary cap for what we can do with Lamar Jackson and Calais Campbell and players and how much we can. But this is the part of, and baseball had all of this with scouts and academies on the front end of all of that stuff. This is where they can spend more money and should be better at it and probably have a scientific number to put on Lamar Jackson's head and say, this is what you're worth to us, because Ozzie always loved playing that game.
I will say this, which is, there is a salary cap on players, but there is no salary cap on coaches, scouts, or analytics people. So you might as well have a lot of those. Coaches, scouts, and analytics people.
Well, in a billion-dollar company, for sure. You know, in a billion-dollar company, that's all.
It's interesting because you want to have one number you can put on a player, but I'm actually a believer that you don't always want to have one number you can put on a player. Like, it's better to have a number of different statistics that tell you different things about a player's strengths and weaknesses. Like, if you think of statistics as the paints, that if you're a painter that paints a picture, you'd rather paint a picture with multiple colors than just black and white.
Fair enough. Aaron Schatz always coloring what we do here a little bit more for the NFL and just red, white, and blue. Getting you ready for draft. Obviously, I guess Rex Ryan and Mike Pettine aren't jumping picket fences with dogs to sign Bart Scott at midnight. We're a little bit more genteel in how we do this now. We offer tampering periods. Players without agents get to tweet out what their current offers are and put their cards on the table. So Wild Wild West, right? I mean, all they need to do is fire a gun at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon and say go, right?
Social media is crazy. Like the idea that you write about a player and the player reads it and responds to you, right? Like not just stuff we write, but like Schefter goes, Lamar Jackson was offered such and such. And then Lamar Jackson responds to that is kind of wild.
Well, I had Peter King on 24 hours ago. You can find that ad in Baltimore Positive or in our audio vault. And I said to Peter, and I've been at this from the beginning, and they've thrown me out, and that's its own saga that, you know, is never ending, at least on my end, it'll never be ending. But after 27 years of doing it, I went from a point as a reporter where I used to go out to the castle, and I have the envelopes. Phil Savage and Eric DaCosta and Joe Ortiz would lead, and Brian would lead me around the castle, and they would put into envelopes who they thought they were going to pick the day before. This is back. And there was a level of trust that, like, I sort of believe what they were saying. Now, the morning that they thought Chad Henne was going to be the quarterback and they drafted Joe Flacco, I knew we had jumped the shark right around 2008, that it would be all lies and the internet and Twitter. But I said to Peter, I'm like, you're so old school that, like, they used to tell you the truth. Now everything is a lie.
No, no one wants anything leaking, man. Nobody wants anything leaking. The NFL teams are so hush-hush.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year. Hey, thank you for leaking your information out to everybody. We're going to send everybody out to Football Outsiders. At some point, I'm going to settle Tanier down, that running gun gangster, and we'll talk some more. I'm waiting for the Lamar thing to settle before I get a hold of him, find out where we are. But get out to Football Outsiders, FB Outsiders, out on Twitter, and FO_Ashots. He is the founder of Football Outsiders, creator of DVOA. I went a whole segment without talking DVOA with you because I've done that before. I was trying to go in a different direction.
You know, the short version is Baltimore was really good last year when Jackson was healthy. I mean, they were a really good team. There were six teams last year that were clearly better than everyone else. Everyone knows what teams those are. Baltimore was just as good as those teams when Lamar Jackson was healthy.
All right. He is leading the charge to bring Lamar back. They're out of the ice cream over there, the Pay Lamar ice cream. They're out of that. But we'll get a new batch for Aaron Schatz out of Football Outsiders, always providing some clarity. And I was trying to, you know, find some guests that were going to talk football and not the hubbub and contract and waiting for purple plumes of smoke out in Owings Mills. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. In the meantime, Maryland, we're all behind you. We're going to be at the Hollywood Casino Barstool Sports at noon on Thursday. I may call an audible on Saturday if there's an Alabama thing, because it's easy to hate Alabama around here, of course. But we're going to be up there at lunchtime on Thursday. Good luck with all the bracketology out there. Luke and I are talking baseball, football, free agency, Lamar, all that good stuff. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.